And good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 54 degrees under overcast skies. And joining me in the studio is Ann Lankinall, park ranger for the Sitka National Historical Park. Welcome to Morning Edition, Ann.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, we're here to talk about the 4th of July, specifically as it involves Sitka National Historical Park. Now, you have some specific activities happening tomorrow. Can we talk about those?
Yeah, from 10:30 a.m. until noon, we have a couple of things going on. One of them is we have some historic and traditional children's games. So children are invited to come and play some of these games that children would have played back in the 19th century. We have three main games that we'll be offering. One of them is called the Game of Graces, and this was traditionally played just by girls, but we welcome boys to come and play too. And it's a game where you have a partner, and each person has two sticks, and then there's a hoop, a wooden hoop, and so you toss the hoop back and forth to each other, and throwing it with the sticks and catching with the sticks. And it takes people a little bit of time to catch on, but once we do, it becomes a lot of fun. And sometimes we have a triangle with three people sharing one hoop, or we set up different variations of that. So that's one of the options. Another one is a very old game. The traditional name is quoits, but it's actually basically like a horseshoe game or a ring toss game where you toss some rings over a distance onto a peg, and certain pegs have certain point values. So depending on whether you put the ring over the peg or close to the peg, you get points for that. And that's a good game for some of our younger children, whereas graces might be a little bit more complex and involved. So children of all ages are welcome, and that doesn't mean just people under 12 or under 18 or whatever the magic number is. We have all kinds of adults that come and enjoy the games. And the last game, the third game we have, is a ring and pin game. And this is actually based on something that was something that the children, the native Aleut and Aleutic children, would do to help practice some of their eye-hand coordination skills. And there's a board with some holes drilled into it that's tethered to a little stick or a dowel. And then you try and take the dowel. You toss the board and try and put the dowel inside the hole. And we just have a couple of those games, but then we also have cup and ball. So it's the same sort of skill. So those are some games that we will be having offering from 10:30 a.m. until noon. And then also during that same time period, we'll have a Russian tea service. So we have our samovar out. Samovars are the way that the Russians traditionally made tea. Traditionally, they would have charcoal samovars, but we have an electric samovar. And the kind of tea we offer is a traditional Russian blend of tea. It's black tea, but it has some citrus added to it. So it's very, very flavorful, and people generally like it. So we offer tea, and then we'll also be having some of those Russian tea cakes that are offered. So that's what we'll be having from 10:30 to noon. Unfortunately, we stop at noon because then we're getting ready for the parade. And just a reminder that in past years, the Russian Bishop's House has stayed open during the parade, but this year we're closing from 1:30 to 3, just like pretty much every other place in town. But the Russian Bishop's House will be closed until 3, and then we'll reopen in the afternoon after the parade.
And so I expect there will be lots of folks there dressed in period garb as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We will have some of the people have probably seen us marching in parades in the women in their long skirts, and we have a couple of men who will be dressing up in some of the living history outfits that we have. So hopefully between the outfits and the games and just the place being in front of the lawn of the Russian Bishop's House, there'll be a feel of going back maybe into some time in the 1800s and getting maybe a little bit more realistic feel of what it might have been like back then.
Well, and that seems particularly interesting in light of a piece of information you shared with me earlier. And that's the first 4th of July, basically, parade happened here in Sitka. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, if you remember, Alaska was transferred from Russia to the United States in October of 1867. And then that first July 4th, which would have been July 4th, 1868, the town celebrated July 4th, Independence Day. They were now part of the United States. And what happened in Sitka, we have a couple of anecdotes written from people's journals. And one of the memories talks about in the morning there was a canoe race, and the winners were awarded clothing and other prizes. And then at 2 p.m., there was a procession to Indian River. So it would have come from maybe the what we call the downtown area that would have gone out pretty much a route similar to what Lincoln Street is. And they would go to Indian River, and they would go all the way out Indian River out to the end of the peninsula, which is out probably near where the fort site is now. And once they got out there, there would be speeches, and people brought food, and there was a big, big meal, and they picnicked. And the account said that along the way, the houses and the stores were all decorated very, very fancifully, and that many of the houses had flags waving from the rooftops. And they specifically mentioned both Russian and American houses, although the Russian houses would probably belong to Creole families. And then the procession included the military. This was pretty much, this had been the headquarters of the Russian-American company, so it was not really a capital in the sense there was a government, but it was the headquarters of the administrative headquarters here in Alaska for the United States. So it would have had the military people. The parade also included a fire engine that was decorated with flowers and flags. And then a young woman was dressed up as Goddess Liberty, so that was part of the parade too. And then there was another fire engine, so I guess they had a couple of fire engines in the parade. And then, of course, the commanding staff for the army, the orator and readers, the people who would be presenting the speeches, then the chaplain. There would have been a prayer. And then at the end of the parade, they said there were the city government officials and some of the general citizens. And then there's another memory that talks about the parade, and he mentions a young boy, a 7-year-old boy, being on a horse, followed by 4 drummers. And then all he said was about the man, he says, important men and an administrator. And then they talked about the fire engine again, but the soldiers pulling the fire engine. And he mentioned a Finnish girl who was 13 years old, sat in front of a cabin wearing a small crown with the word Republic written across the top, and then cannons, and then more soldiers. So evidently the military was very prominent in this parade. And then after the whole ceremony was over, the speeches, and they had their picnic and everything, the end of the celebration was signaled by a cannon salute. So that's how the 4th of July was first celebrated here in Sitka.
Well, you know, Sitkans take pride in their parades. We have many parades for such a small town. And it's just really interesting to think about the fact that this tradition goes all the way back to the transfer.
Yeah, it does, back to 1868 and the other thing, I guess, that, you know, would have been very noticeable is it was now part of the United States, and you can just see in the way they talk about decorating their houses and waving their flags that people were really embracing, or some people were embracing that new part of their life. So
specific 4th of July events at the Russian Bishop's House tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. to noon, are the traditional children's games. And then there will be the Russian tea service with tea cakes too. Yeah. Yum, yum, yum. Well, can you talk a little bit about the ongoing ranger-led programs that you're offering?
Yeah. Now, at the Russian Bishop's House, we are open 9 to 5 every day, and we do have guided tours upstairs every hour, every half hour on the hour and half hour. And there is a fee for that, but the first floor is a self-guided museum, so people are welcome to walk around there. And we also have a film that has been there for maybe only 3 years or so. So it's a relatively new film if people haven't been there in a while. It's an 18-minute film that talks a lot about the building of the house, the restoration process, and the first bishop that lived there. So that people find that very interesting. And then at the other part of the park, the place that people call it's really the fort site unit, but people call it Totem Park. We have ranger-led talks every day, and people are welcome to come, bring visitors from town. Even if you've lived here for 20 years and never been to one, you're welcome to come to our talks. Every day we have a talk about the Battle of Sitka in 1804, and at least one talk about our totem poles. Usually the battle walk is at 9 o'clock, and there's a walk about the totem poles at 10. But then we also have something this year that we call Discovery Talks, where each ranger has picked a topic of interest, and this is a shorter talk because most of the walks are about 45 minutes. This is maybe a half-hour talk at a table near the visitor center, and one of the discoveries talks is about fungus in general and in our park. Another one we have is about the Tlingit regalia. Somebody else does one about slugs. Somebody else does one on sea otter. Someone does one on salmon. Someone does on climate change. And I do one on bentwood boxes. So there's quite a range of topics. And those are usually, the discovery talks are at sometimes around 11 or noon or 1, depending on staffing. But we have, every Friday, we try and put our schedule for our talks in the Sitka Sentinel. So, and it's also on our website. If you go to www.nps.gov, you can find Sitka National Historical Park and read about the times and the talks that are presented. And we love to have people come out and share this part of their history and their culture and heritage with them. Or maybe it's a culture and heritage of a new group of people that they're not familiar with, but we love doing that. So everybody's welcome.
And the Ranger-led talk schedule is also on our community calendar on KCAW, kcaw.org. And because of that, I know that at 1 o'clock today is a salmon talk, the salmon discovery talk. And there's totem talks at 10 and noon today. And then, of course, there's the battle walk at 9.
Yeah, well, great.
Well, you know, we're just about out of time. Anne, any closing thoughts?
No, I just thank you for the opportunity to come here and share with people about the activities and a little bit about the history of the 4th of July in Sitka. And hopefully people will come out to the Russian Bishop's House tomorrow. We'll be there, rain or shine. We'll have the tea. We have a tent covering the samovar and a little table. So if it's raining, as often it is known to do on the 4th of July, we'll still be there. You're still welcome. And I've been out there when I've got soaking wet, and it's always been fun. So please come down from between 10:30 and noon, or if you can't make it during that time, you can still come to see the Russian Bishop's House from 9 in the morning or after the parade after 3. So.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Anne.
Well, thank you for having me.
My guest has been Anne Lankinaw, Park Ranger with the Sitka National Historical Park. A number of 4th of July events happening at the Russian Bishop's House tomorrow. Children's games from long ago, 10:30 a.m. to noon, and a Russian tea service.